What was the first thing that Jesus addressed? What was the first thing that he started speaking after he was baptized? In fact, before he was baptized, when he started his public ministry, what did Jesus say? That's it. He said, repent. Later he said, make disciples. He said, repent. Why? For the kingdom of God is at hand. Why did he want them to repent? To save them from hell. Disobey circular. He says, because the kingdom of God is at hand. And what do we know? The kingdom of God is more a place of principles and values than it is a place. That's why I said the kingdom of God is amongst you. Why? Because the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Romans 14 and verse 17, I believe it is. That's why I said repent. Why? Because he wanted us in on that. He would rather die than be in heaven without us. So that's the foundation. I see for oggend se preek nie. That's a reminder and a recap. That's what he said. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And for us to even to begin to live out any vision that we feel that God has for us, folks, we need a change of heart. What are the things that grieves God's heart when people that he died for, that are destined for so much more, live lives away from God? How many of you know that God sends nobody to hell? He's never sent anybody to hell. Oh, you're going to turn or burn. There was a season in church history years ago that this very predicator gepreked word. It was just fire and brimstone. And the fear of God came upon the people. And maybe it's time that we start preaching like that. Turn or burn. Turn from your wicked ways, you sinners. That's what Jesus spoke about. The kingdom of God. And it's like that. So we need our hearts broken with the things that breaks God's heart. God doesn't send anybody to hell. People choose to live a life apart from him. It's one of the challenging things about the gospel. You know, we being in a ministry where we minister to motorcyclists, not only, but their friends and family or whatever. There's certain things that we choose to do. And you know, people say, oh, you're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do that. No, we're allowed to, but we choose not to. For the sake of those that we're ministering to, we choose to adapt our behavior so that it's not a stumbling block to the people that we minister to. And it's like that. We come to a place in our lives, or should be at a place in our lives, where we choose, Lord, there's things that we could be doing that's more convenient. How many of you know there's something more convenient to be doing on a Sunday morning than being at church? One of them is sleeping. One of them is just blooming and doing nothing, or doing Egyptian PT. You know what Egyptian PT is? Put your foot up and your head back, it's Egyptian PT. Ek weet nie waar dit vandaan kom nie, but I was told it's Egyptian PT. So there's other things that we can be doing on a Sunday morning. We could be playing with the kids in the garden, taking the dogs for a walk. We could be on the golf range. You know how beautiful it is, this beautiful dog. We could be on our motorcycles riding, having the wind in our head. It could be so many other things, but we choose to come and have corporate fellowship together to say, Lord, what do you have for me? So we choose to allow the kingdom of God to come. And when Jesus taught us to pray, folks, Jesus spoke about the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. And as preachers, if we're not speaking about the kingdom, what are we talking about? And when he taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. What did he want for us? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. This vision that God has given us, it's big, ladies and gentlemen. It's big. It's not just something, oh, look, that the Handlebar team got together and say, hey, let's think of a catchy slogan. Bringing the unchurched, the lost, the downtrodden, the brokenhearted, bringing the unchurched into the family of God to advance his kingdom. That's the recap. This week, we're going to look about what does it mean to bring them in? What are the practicalities of bringing them in? What does it mean? So some things to ponder are, is when you get given an invitation to some place, what are some of the things, wat het jou aantreklik sal laat lyk om daai uitnodiging op te volg en daai event by te woon? When you get given an invitation for something, What are some of the things that make it appealing and attractive to you? What do you think are some of the things that would make the kingdom of God attractive to an unbeliever? Because at the end of the day, vir baie mense, al wat jy doen is jy kom na hulle toe and you start telling them that they got to stop doing what's fun for them. Dit klink mos nie lekker nie. How would you like to have somebody to come tell you to stop doing what you find fun? Dis mos lekker om te jol, né? And jol can mean various things to various people. But Leon sê vir 'n bike jy gee nie te badge, dis vir hom lekker. No, we're not dissing the bikers like Epichar. So like you say, come to the kingdom of God. So what is the kingdom of God? What is it even? So what are the things that make the kingdom of God appealing? Is it promises of blessings and abundance? Is it things, excuse me. Is it resolving daily life problems? How many of you have problems? Sure, baie mense sit lande op, né? Well, we're in the right place today. How many of you have challenges? May God help to turn those problems into challenges. Is it, oh, well, I come to church, I want to know about the kingdom of God. Lord, I just want to get rid of these problems. Is it the promise of making it to heaven one day? Is it just choosing one of the many religions that are out there or choosing the one that's popular in the culture? Think about this. Stel jou nou voor, van kleins af, before you took life's first breath, that you were taught to serve a God with all those arms or a little elephant that drinks milk, or you were taught Hinduism or Tamil or some other system of belief. And dis al wat jy geleer het van kleins af. Imagine then somebody comes to you in your teens or in your 20s and tell you, no, Jesus is actually the only way, the truth, and the life. It's only through Jesus that you can get to the kingdom. You're going, what? So what is the kingdom of heaven? Do we choose it just because that's what most of us maybe, I'm just guessing, were brought up with? We were brought up in a Christian culture? Is that why we've chosen it? What are the things that make the kingdom attractive, ladies and gentlemen? You know, is it, there's so much evidence, overwhelming evidence to substantiate the claims of the Bible and Jesus' claims. So what is it about the kingdom of God that makes it attractive? Well, here's where it gets close to home. Here's where hierdie preke dan mos toegepas moet word in ons lewens. Waar, dit moet die langste afstand gaan wat bekend is aan die mensdom. Van hier vanaf, hier naartoe. That's a long, long distance. That's when it gets real. And that's what we're going to have to start applying this. Okay. So one of the most compelling reasons why people are drawn to the kingdom of God is the powerful lives that are lived by followers of Jesus Christ. I was ministering to a guy at the rally yesterday, and he introduced me to his brother-in-law. I think it was his brother-in-law. He's heavy. It's my soir. It's my heavy. This guy is heavy age. He's like almost 7 foot tall or so. And he was talking to me behind this guy's back, and he's saying, when I saw how this guy lived his faith, I wanted some of that. And I thought, yeah, oh, Lord, isn't it like that if our lives can be attractive to people like that? Where you have such a relationship with Jesus that people will want what you have. Or do they look at you and say, if that's what Christianity is about, keep it. It's a challenge, Mensa. So one of the most compelling reasons for people to be drawn into the kingdom of God is the powerful lives of those that follow Jesus. And we speak about life's first breath. The first word that any human being that's born utters is the part of the name of God, Yahweh. From life's first breath to life's last breath, as a child gasps that breath of air, and you breathe your last. Yahweh, Yahweh, the name of God. So what is the culture of the day? And what is it that makes the kingdom of God attractive to people? And I'll be the first one to say, As Christians, the Church of Jesus Christ has misrepresented Jesus so many times in church history. The atrocities that have been done in the name of Jesus give people reason to say, no, well, if that's what it's about, I don't want it. But you know what's encouraging and exciting? When I misrepresent God, it doesn't change who God is. You see, when I give people not even a proper glimpse of Jesus, it doesn't change who Jesus is. He's still the God of the Bible. He's still the God who's holy. He's still the God who's righteous, who's just, who's fair. He's still that same God. So it's our lives. And Jesus says this about us. So we saw last week that we need a change of heart. And now we need to start living this change of heart out. The Bible teaches us, you know, there's confession and there's repentance. Confession is when I say and admit. I confess, you mean you speak. Ek het nou gesondig, op dit is sonde. That's confession. Repentance means repent. Pent means the highest. Repent, return to the highest place. Repent, that means I turn away. There's repentance. And then it goes on from there. Once I've repented, there needs to be change in my life. It's Matthew 3 and verse 8, Luke 3 and verse 8, and Acts 26:20 says, I'm going to paraphrase, live in such a way that people can see you've repented. It says there must be fruit befitting repentance in your life. So confession is saying, Here, ek besef, ek het droog gemaak. Lord, I repent, I'm choosing to change. And then the fruit that I start to bear in my life must show that I have repented. And it's like that when it comes to the kingdom of God. If I say, Lord, I see this vision. I want to live like that, Lord. My life must show it. What I do must show it. And Jesus speaks about this in the Sermon on the Mount of Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 and verse 14, the Beatitudes. He says this, you're the salt of the earth. And it's not for the Engels sprekendes, ne? Die souties. Dis die souties. It's very interesting if you look at the history where that word comes from, but we'll move right along now. You're the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? What do they do with salt also? Onder andere. Not, you know, we like to talk about salt preserves, salt adds flavor. You know what else they did with salt? They threw it on the floor to be trampled underfoot so it would be a suitable surface to walk on. Outside the temple entrances, that's where they put the salt. So is ons bereid om vertrap te word deur die wêreld dat hulle by die koninkryk kan inkom? Is it interesting that it's put to the entrances to the temples where they worshipped? So, you know, I wish when I gave my life to Jesus that somebody told me then, Mozzie, you're signing up for pain. You're signing up for suffering. You're signing up for ridicule. You're signing up for rejection. You're signing up for hardship. You're signing up for persecution. You're signing up for onslaught from the devil. I don't know about you, but I didn't sign up in the beginning. I didn't give my life to the Lord for those things. I gave my life because I was desperate. The devil was convincing me to commit suicide when I gave my life to Jesus. And he says, what do you do with salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? Nee, jy kan nie. It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. And verse 14, you're the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. Thank you for this challenging word, Lord. May we apply it to our lives, each one individually where you are at. So looking at these two verses, we see two key words, salt and light. Everybody say salt. Say light. Okay. Salt and light. Salt preserves and adds flavor. So let's ask ourselves this question. What flavor do we project about the kingdom of God? So when people come to this church, do they see, ooh, there's this rule, you've got to act like this, you've got to speak like this, you've got to dress like this, you've got to say this. Who's the first time visitors here this morning? Okay, baie dankie, ons is so bly julle is hier. Wat het julle ervaar so ver? Moenie antwoorde gee nie. En moenie nou probeer uitloop terwyl almal kyk nie. Maar Hoe is dit vir julle vir die eerste keer hierso? Het julle godsdienstigheid ervaar, soos al hierdie klomp reels? Het julle vriendelikheid ervaar? Het mense julle gegroet? Het vreemdelinge jou na julle toe gekom sê, hallo, my naam is Mozzie, hoe laat julle my so ver? Dis my naam, by the way. Wat het julle ervaar hierso? Voel julle welkom hierso? Voel julle God se teenwoordigheid? Of is dit 'n rigid vaste ding van, ooh, ek kan nie hier trap nie? Hoe is dit vir first time visitors hierso? What do they experience when they come here for the first time? Do they experience salt and light? What do they experience when they come here? Okay, and then this next question. Is what we're trying to preserve, if we salt and preserve, is what we're trying to preserve of any lasting value to us and to others? I always try and mold the preaching of the messages that I believe God gives me. Lord, how can it change the daily life from people that sit under my wara, 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 wara for a half hour and sometimes more? How does it change their daily life? Can they go home and apply it? Is it something that they can use in the week? Is it something that can get them through when the enemy attacks them? Or is it just some good Bible school teaching or principle that you can give a title to? Or is it something that they can take and make their own and live out? So what we're trying to preserve, is it something that's of value to us and to other people? Light dispels darkness and helps us see the way we go. This week in one of my training sessions, 5 to 5, I was on my bicycle. It was still dark, but I didn't want to put my light on my bicycle. So for 6 kilometers, I had to ride very, very carefully on my bicycle before it was light enough to see. But when that little bit of light comes, nee, man, dan's dit lekker. Dan kan jy ry. Light dispels darkness. Our life, does it shed light on dark matters? Does it make it clear to people, oh, that's the way you should go? Or is it like dark for people? They're just like trying to see things in the liver. So, is there that kind of light in us? Light also exposes things that are dark and hidden. This is so profound. I never get tired of thinking about this. Sometimes, you know, oftentimes, all the time, the power of sin is in its secrecy. Dis 'n geheim. Dan gaan die vyand jou daarvan beskuldig. But you know what? When you come clean, you go to a brother and a sister, and you say, my boot, I'm struggling with this issue. I'm struggling with hatred, with bitterness, with swearing, with stealing, with porn, with, I don't know, whatever it is. Say, help me, pray with me. Die vyand kan jou kom maar kom beskuldig. Hy sê, it's okay. So washed in the blood of Jesus. I've repented. What have you got against me, devil? Jesus knows about it. And he's helping me. The devil can't accuse you anymore. He can't accuse you anymore. It's a good place to live, my brother, my sister, when the devil can't accuse you, man. So light exposes things that are dark and hidden. Does our lives shed meaningful light on the dark issues of daily life? You know, sometimes people, you know, we must say this to each other. You're not okay, and that's okay. I'm not okay, and that's okay. We don't always have to have the answers for everything. Deuteronomy 29 and 29 says that the secret things belong to the Lord. So when people come to you and ask you difficult questions, say, you know, I don't know, but let's just go to God. And sometimes God, all He wants from us, He doesn't want to give you an answer. He just wants you to enjoy His presence. You know? Mense kom na jou toe en, hoekom het die Here my gebede nie geantwoord toe ek bid dat hy my kind red? Nou is my kind dood op 3 jaar oud. Hoekom? Ek het nie 'n antwoord nie. Hoekom gebeur slegte goed met godvreesende mense? Mense, ek kan nie vir julle sê nie. Hulle het nie vir ons geleer toe ek my graad bekom het nie. So wat beteken dit? There are some things that we just don't know, you know? So when people come with questions, can we at least point them to the God that gives the answers? Friday, I had a discussion with somebody in my office and said, look, I can't fix you. I don't have what it takes to fix you, but together we're going to seek the Lord's face and trust that God will give you an answer. And that's what Jesus is meaning when he's saying salt and light. This is what it does, guys. And these are questions we should ask ourselves. Verse 14 refers to a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. It's Jesus' words are, you just can unpack and unpack and unpack and get more and more and more, provided you're hungry. He says you're a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. So if it cannot be hidden, it means this. God and the world watches our behavior and the way we handle difficulties. Have you ever wondered that perhaps the difficulty and the troublesome time you're going through has got nothing to do with you, but somebody that's watching your life to see the Jesus in you come to the fore? Think about that. Think, Lord, what have I done wrong? Let me tell you this, my brother, my sister. If you're truly called of God, persecution is part and parcel of the package. Every person that's truly called of God has to go through that desert experience. Check out the principle of 40 through the Bible. So if you're truly called to leadership, you're going to go through it. So when that bad thing happens, like the yellow hell break loss in your liver, the pawpaw and the cabbages and the vegetables, the potatoes, everything hits the fan all at once. If you thought maybe it's not about you and your lesson, but just somebody looking at your life, saying, okay, you know, I just want to see how God delivers others and perhaps he's got something for me too. Is this meaning anything to anybody this morning, church? Please. You know? So he says, the city is on a hill. The world and others are watching our life. How does he react when the pressure's on? You see, when he's in church, dan praat hy Christianese. Hallelujah, prys die Here. God is good. Dan gaan hy daar buite en dan stamp iemand hom van agteraf in sy kar. Dan lê hy die stukke daar. Kom by die huis, dan staan die ruit en die deure oop. They've done affirmative shopping. Jy gaan daarso en jou kind is weer vasgevat by die skool vir iets or whatever or something. Jy val, jy kry 'n nuwe foon, die ding val, daar's die skerm in stukke or something. What's the first word that comes out of our mouths? Oh, for 5-6. Come on, let's be real. Let's be real. Oh, I didn't mean to. No, you didn't. Maar die ding is dis in jou hart, julle. Because waar die hart van vol is, loop die mond van oor. Halleluja, help ons, Here. Ons het help nodig. Hey, we need Jesus, people. Come on, man. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. Hey, we need Jesus. And that's a heavy thing, bringing the unchurched. You, Lord. You know, can I bring them into my life? Would it affect the kingdom or what they see? When we deal with each other, when we deal with difficulties, how do we resolve conflict? How do we love each other? You know? Joch, it's a moeilijke preek hier. God, just give me some other message, man. It's a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. A city is placed on a hill for very strategic reasons. For example, safety. When you're in your closest circle of Christian fellowship, is it for jou veilige plek daar? Do you feel safe? Can you share your dirty laundry and bring all the skeletons out of the closet and the people won't love you any less? It must be like that, dames en heren. Nou, ek besef, you can't just go tell anybody everything because some people will just, they just, like, hulle gaan 'n serious glyvang, hoor. But we must have somebody that we can confide in and trust in. Okay? So, a city is there for safety, also for trade influence, to make an influence in commerce and business. Are we making an influence in commerce and business? Are Christian business people setting the standard? Oh, do we besteel SARS just as much as the next oak? Ja, ek weet hulle besteel ons, but God will have to step in and intervene there. God, and I'm not, you know, I know nothing about business, man. I know nothing about business. But for the business people out there, God will give you wisdom and strategy to make a difference. He will. He will. Just let him be the CEO and the COO and the other O's and the other C's. Met ander woorde, hy moet beheer wees van alles. And submit your finances to him. So it was there for safety, for trade influence, for easy access. For easy access. You know? Do we the requirements that we have, do we make it easy for the world to come to Jesus? Or do they think, oh, yeah, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to get rid of this, I've got to change this, before I, you know, just, we must never be at this place where we want them to behave and believe before they're made to feel that they belong. That's the wrong order. It's important to believe. It's important to behave. So do we want them to behave, to believe before they belong? No. First make them feel that they belong. The Lord will get them to believe and He'll change the way they behave. It's a groot verskil. Oh, look, a little play on words, but it is so significant, people. You know? And I, so, people were talking about, what we represent in the church, and do we open the door for the devil and stuff like that? And we say, like, people look at somebody like, you know, those days we used to call them coffin kids. The hair's black, the makeup's black, the varnish is black, the clothes are black, everything's black. Call them the coffin kids. And hulle is kastig, die Satan aanbidders. Well, these people are dressed in the brightest, pinkest colors, and they worship Satan just as much as the coffin kids. Yella. So, like, if a Satan worshiper that dresses like that, I mean, they drink cat's blood and sacrifice cats and dogs or whatever, you know, pentagrams tattooed all over and whatever, comes in here. Wat gaan ons doen? Hoda saba sheka rasata kabakon. Or we're going to run to them, just embrace them, say, welcome into the house of God. How are we going to react to them? Come on, people. Let's be real here. Like the city on a hill, is it accessible to people? Or we just these happy, clappy Jesus freaks that the mense kan ons nie verstaan nie. Julle is daar maar weird, hoor. Daar is lig in julle lewe, but it's warning signs. The hazard lights gaan aan. What kind of light are we portraying to the people? Is this meaning something to anybody? Come on, we're trusting God to fill this building. These things have to be in place, Yella. We want to reach the people in a Eligwe state. Hoe gaan ons dit doen? So that's what a city was there. It's easy, accessible, and it's in close proximity to resources. That's why a city was there. So how does that relate to our life? A city is placed on a hill for these reasons. The principles and values of the kingdom of God are all that's needed to change a dying world. There's no other solution. There's no something else coming from heaven still. There's no a new delegation, a new platoon of angels that God is going to send. The Bible says He has given us all things that pertain to life. He's given us all. His Son, the resurrection, the Word, the Spirit of God, angels, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the corporate fellowship that we have. There's nothing more coming from heaven. We have it all to use and make a difference in people's lives. Here's the thing. A city grows as it serves people. Churches grow when visitors stay. Hierdie mense wat vir die eerste keer kom besoek af lê, is this the kind of place that Lissel, if they do not have a spiritual home, and ek pik nie op hulle nie, but they say, weet jy wat, I could see myself forming part of that family. I can see myself discovering God. I can see myself learning and growing there. Or is it like, ooh, nee, jy wil nie weer daar wees nie. What is it like? So a city grows and churches grow when visitors stay. The Christian life is one of sacrificial service. A city grows when it serves people. The Christian life is one of sacrificial service. Why do I say that? You see, it might be a joy and a pleasure for you to serve. That's great. But it costs something. It costs Jesus everything. It's going to cost us something. Okay? And the city is not on marshy ground, swampland, broken ground. It's on a hill. Something that's solid. It's strong. It's spoken into existence by God. A hill is established and strong and solid. How much more so the kingdom of God upon which to build our lives. You see, let's say this about Jesus, my brother, my sister. If if it was not about getting into the kingdom of heaven or about eternity and your saligheid and ewigheid, etc., that which Jesus teaches, the simple basics of what he teaches, is it worth following? Think about that. If it's not about getting to heaven, what he teaches, the things that he teaches, is it worth following? Is it worth applying those principles to your life? Because if it isn't, then what's the point of it? It's not just about heaven one day. Dit gaan oor die hier en die nou. Lord, what you teach me, is it going to help me to live successful life? And as ek sê sukses, ek praat nie van die Mercedes-Benz of die Unos of whatever voertuig vir jou lekker is of whatever, nee. Ek praat nie daaroor nie. Is it successful daily living? And at the end of the day, do you know of anybody, just be honest, do you know of anybody who doesn't want to be happy? Do you know of anybody that doesn't want to be? And isn't this that one of like the basic needs of mankind? And I'm not talking about Maslow's theory of hierarchy and, you know. And that's the kingdom of God gives us that lasting joy that goes way beyond happiness. And that's what Jesus is saying, family, when he speaks about salt and light. We need to be that so that we can bring the people in to the kingdom of God, into the family of God, to advance his kingdom. So a hill is put also in a specific place. So too, God has placed us strategically in a local body, our church. Isaiah 61 and verse 3. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give you a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks. Hey, that's a great oak, eh? He's a great oak. The Bible speaks about it. It's a cool oak. Great oaks speak about an oak tree. Great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. So, when last have you seen an oak tree relocate itself? Say what? Ek like it nie meer hier so nie, hoor. Laat ek maar myself maar skuif. So then why do we do that as Christians? And dan sê ons, my season has is finished. En dit raak erg wanneer die mense sê nee, hulle het bevestiging gekry. Ek wonder what voices you listening to? I don't know. There comes a time when God sends you, when you sent out, that's a different story. So flourish where God has planted you. Flourish where God has planted you, where he's placed you. Voor die duivel jou plant. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 18. But our bodies have many parts. God has put each part just where he wants it. It's like that. People, they say, ooh, Mozzie, I love the way you preached. It was a fantastische preek. En it's so lekker by jou kerk, van die is goed en daar, totdat jy die eerste disagreement kry met iemand in die lichaam. Well, the first time somebody doesn't greet you, or does something that they shouldn't have, or doesn't do something that they should have, dan soek ons vir ander gemeentes. Ai, you know. Okay, so, and Paul says this, Ephesians 4 and verse 1, therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. And then John 13 and verse 35, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So to recap, Jesus speaks about a city on a hill. He speaks about us being salt and light, adding flavor, having something of worthwhile to teach to other people. What we're preserving, is it worthwhile? All of these things will help us live in such a way that when people come, they'll feel welcome. They'll feel this is a place that we can belong. We need to ask the Holy Spirit for the right words at the right time, because I can tell you the truth in such a way that you won't receive it. I can tell you what's right in a way that's wrong, and you won't receive it. Hoe sê jy wat vir mense wanneer? Mense, ek weet nie. En soos jy sien, as jy dalk soos ek is, nee, 'n baie skaam, skie, teruggetrokke mens, wat hou nie van om te praat nie, nee. Quickly, jy kan jou bek verby praat. Hoe sê jy waar, wat en wanneer? Wel, ek weet nie, maar die Heilige Gees weet. Trust the Lord. Talk to God about the people before you speak to the people about God. Dis die beste resep. You know, and what works for Dion might not work for Koenraad. What works for Annie might not work for Sally. So you might don't have this formula. Oh, well, it worked last time. No, be sensitive and gentle. Lord, what now? How do we do that? Mark 11 and verse 13. Mark 13, verse 11. But when you are arrested and stand trial, and don't wait till you're arrested before you start testifying, okay? But when you are arrested and stand trial, Jesus speaks about being arrested for the gospel. Don't worry in advance about what to say. Ja, maar Mozzie, wat gaan ek sê? Ek weet nie wat om te sê nie. Well, guess what? I also don't know what to say. Just say what God tells you at that time. For it is not you who will be speaking, but the Holy Spirit. So pray that God gives us practical ways. So I'm going to land this thing quickly. I've been speaking a little bit long, but I'm coming into the pits now for a refuel and a tire change quickly. And then we're done preaching. Here are some practical ways to invite people. We're speaking about bringing this morning. And there's a specific order here. A lot of times this that I'm going to share with you will be more effective than a straight out invite. Hey, kom saam by kerk toe, man. Maybe you've got to do that to somebody. And there's a place in Scripture where it says compel them to come in. There comes a time where somebody you've got to just grab them and drag them in because they're so helpless and it's such a desperate place in their lives. But this might be more helpful in some contexts. Invite them to a dinner or a braai at your home. Just one-on-one. Just with you. If they're your friend, vele male mense bel my. Die Here gee vir hulle 'n oop deur om 'n inspraak te kan hê in iemand se lewe. Dan bel hulle my, Mozzie, kom help my met die nou. It's not that I don't want to do my work, but God has given you an opportunity to speak to that person. God has given you that opportunity. And that's why that way every member becomes a minister and each one wins one. So, invite them to dinner at your home, even if it's takeaways. If you can't even toast a piece of bread or you've forgotten the recipe for ice blocks, then get takeaways or something like that. Wait for Wacky Wednesday and buy two, get one free of Eats. Hoef nie so duur te wees nie. And invite them to have dinner with you. Why? People learn a lot about you when they see the way you live. Invite them to your home. Let them see the way you live. Then once they enjoy that, then invite them to socials with some of your church family. You get? It might not be wise to invite them to a deep Bible study about the horses of the apocalypse. Or something deep like that. I don't know. You know, just be sensitive. Invite them to a social with you, with your church family, where there's more than just one-on-one. Then, invite them to a social at your care group meeting. When you have a care group social night at the care group, once a month at least, to invite unchurched people. And then, invite them to a care group meeting, where you actually discuss what we speak about in the sermons. And I know the care group leaders are anointed people that care for you and love you. This near heavy Bible preek, sometimes it goes there, but most of the time it's, hey, we're just doing life together. And let's discuss, you know, let's unpack what Mozzie spoke about on Sunday. And then eventually you invite them to church celebration with you on a Sunday. In Tiendaitate, ne, they've been salted so much and they've been exposed to the light so much. Ach man, you know what it's like in hierdie gemeente? En baie van julle sal hiervan kan getuig. Julle is lidmate in julle harte. Lang voordat julle daai membership day doen. Is dit nie so nie? And that's how it should be with people. Folks, that's how we're going to bring the unchurched into the family of God to advance His kingdom. I trust that has challenged you and stirred you and motivated you to look at your life and say, Lord, help me be salt and life. My brother, my sister, maybe you're at a place this morning where you think, Here, Mozzie, as jy nou weet waarmee ek nou nonsens aanjaag, nee, ek, daar's nie plek vir my in die koninkryk van God nie. Maybe you don't feel that you're part of a church family or the family of God, or you're not sure where you're going to spend eternity. That's okay. That's why we're here this morning. I'd love to pray with you. So as the intercessors continue to intercede and pray fervently now at this critical time of the service, I want to ask you, my brother, my sister, geliefde, where are you in your walk with God? Are you confident and secure in your relationship with God? If God had to ask you, why must I let you into my kingdom? What would you say to God? If somebody came to you and asked you, hey, I see and hear that you're a Christian. What must I do to get to heaven? What will you answer that person? Maybe you're not sure. If you're not sure, 100% sure, verseker van jou saligheid. If that's you, I don't want to embarrass you or single you out, but if that's not you, please raise your hand. Is there anybody like that here this morning? If you're not sure, raise your hand. I want to pray for you. I don't want you to take up church membership anywhere. I just want to make sure that in die diepte van jou hart, jy is verseker van jou saligheid. Is there anybody like that this morning? You're unsure. Okay. Good. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that we can, in this atmosphere, in this environment, enjoy your word together. And Father God, there's nothing that any of us can do to earn our way into heaven. It's only because of the completed work of Jesus Christ. And Father, sometimes because of life and because of what we do and because the devil accusing us, sometimes we are unsure of our salvation. And it's simply this. Your word teaches us that anyone who calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. And so, Lord, as I sit here this morning, I believe that Jesus is God's Son. I believe, Lord Jesus, that you died. I believe that you rose again from the grave. And I believe that your blood was shed to forgive me of my sins. And Lord, I believe that you're God's Son, and I ask that you save me. I repent this morning of my sins. I ask, Lord Jesus, to forgive me. Wash me clean. Make me whole and new again. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you come into my life. I ask that you guide me, lead me, and give me the strength to live the rest of my days flat out for Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen. And folks, if you've prayed that from the bottom of your heart in all sincerity, the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit has made your spirit born again, and you're a child of God. Your name is written in God's book of life. If you've prayed that in all sincerity. So thank you for making the time to listen this morning and to come and celebrate with us. I would encourage you, invite somebody to your home for a meal. Invite them to socialize with your Christian family. Invite them to care group. Invite them to celebration with us on a Sunday. Thank you for making the time to come and celebrate with us this morning. May Almighty God bless you and keep you, make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up His countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. Thank you for listening. I'm going to ask the sound engineers to play us out with some music in the background there. Bless you guys. Thank you very, very much.